Welcome back to Coast with our guest Craig Sim Webb, the dreams behind the music. Now a full hour of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Craig Sim Webb with us, the dreams behind the music. Also, his book is audiobook, Dreams and Dying. And you were right in the beginning, Craig, when you said dreams are like dying. Very similar, aren't they?
Hmm. Yeah, interesting corollary there. I think
I'd rather dream than die, but they are very similar.
I think Shakespeare said dreams are the chief nourishers in life's feast. So, you know, somewhere on the other side, we're tuning in to the invisible. And then eventually when we graduate from Earth, we head there entirely. But we can tune in lots of times through the night and during the journey.
Now, we were talking a little bit last hour about how to recall your dreams, techniques to be able to do that. And you were talking about, you know, be relaxed, close your eyes, try not to move. What about the kind of food you eat before you go to sleep? Does that have anything to do with it?
Definitely affects our physiology. Medication for sure, certainly. Some are intentionally affecting our sleep. But foods, yeah, I mean, they're full of different chemicals. Some things that people can try as the B vitamins, B6 and B12, are sometimes helpful, although not too much. That can be a bit damaging to help increase recall. Different things that people try, sometimes lavender oil, a little bit softer, or a mugwort. Have you ever tried it?
I've heard of that. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and they can affect our dreaming, not just the recall, in some cases actually sort of the type of dreams and dreaming content.
One of our guests said if you want to dream wild dreams, put a little packet of mugwort inside the pillow sheet.
Inside the pillow, right. Or in your shirt pocket, I've heard.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, our body's tuning into the vibrations of that. It's probably affecting our neurons, our mental. A little lucid dreaming tip for folks.
How did you get started in investigating dreams?
My whole exploration, yeah. Originally I was a physicist, right?
Really?
I don't know what the transition was. It was kind of a surprise. I like to say I had a powerful near-death experience. It lasted 4 years, and then McGill University gave me a diploma for it. My near-death experience was a bachelor in science. but it's a deeper truth, because during that degree, as I was being very objective, provable science, you know, very head-centered, I actually had a powerful near-drowning under a raft. Nearly died. Long story short, I started remembering up to about 10 dreams a day. Like crazy stuff right after that. Lucid dreams, precog dreams. And I was, wow, this is different. They didn't teach me about this in physics class. So I guess a little bit of inner exploration personally. And then later, 7 years later, arrived at the Stanford lucid dreaming research to track this scientifically and say, hey, what's going on?
I was at an event this year in the summertime. And outside, it's a very mystical area. But I had, Craig, at least 5 episodes of deja vu. I have not had it in years, but in this certain place, I had 5 episodes. They were driving me nuts, because you could feel it coming on, and you knew what was going to happen. You knew what somebody was going to say. But 5 of them, what would cause that?
Well, it could be the intention of the whole weekend. I guess you were at a retreat of some kind?
Yeah, it was in Joshua Tree,
okay.
California.
It could definitely be the land. Sometimes when we're traveling, certainly the recall is clearer. Deja vu is French. Many people don't know for already seen. So we're tuning in. Sometimes people recognize, oh, I dreamt this, but sometimes it's just a feeling. So perhaps the dreams are coming through clearer because you're sleeping a little bit lighter in the desert there with the mountain air. So it could be the sort of group intention also, where other people sharing their experiences with each other.
Yes, in some cases.
So there's that momentum of sort of group synergy. Everybody's talking about it, interested. A little bit of performance. Hey, I got to get some dreams or some deja vu to tell some interesting stories. So there could be that. Hard to say for sure, but you noticed it as pretty significantly different, right?
Absolutely. Okay, let's take some calls. You ready? Joe in the Bronx, welcome to the program, Joseph.
How you doing, George?
Good.
How's everything going?
Everybody's good.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a guess. Now, as far as dream and reality converging, sort of an interface between the two, how many artists report being affected by this situation? You'll dream something, or you'll see something in real life and it'll link up to a dream you have.
Yeah, like a premonition, you mean? Something you
Right.
dreamt and then later came true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually fairly common. There's quite a few experiences of that. I mentioned a few earlier. Another one of interest is Lynyrd Skynyrd. Have you heard the band there?
Yes.
Sweet Home
Uh-huh.
Alabama.
Yes, I met the drummer.
Oh, okay,
Go
great.
Cardalone. Yeah.
Awesome.
Joe's a musician.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd love to get a copy of the book to different people who are in it and stuff. So if anyone has links, please email music@craigwebb.ca because we'd like to sort of show them what has been out there and as a thank you also. But in this case, one of the, I guess, the backup singer, JoJo Billingsley, had a powerful dream that the plane's going to crash tomorrow. She saw
Oh,
really upsetting
jeez.
injuries and even death. Phoned the band and said, "Don't take the flight tomorrow. It's going to be really bad news." And I saw this dream, etc. And the band actually met in reality, in waking life, and said, "Should we take it or not?" And some of the band even booked flights on others, but eventually they decided to take it as quote unquote their last flight. Unfortunately, that dream came true, and the lead singer and a few others were removed or graduated from Earth, let's say, because they didn't accurately follow it. So that's one example of, I'd say, at least a dozen in the book, and probably others I don't know of. So I hope people will write me if they know some of these stories.
How many people, Craig, don't take heed by their dreams? They
Way
just
too
don't
many.
listen to them.
Way too many. That's one example. And people will say, "Oh, it was just a dream. Don't worry, just a nightmare." And in some cases, if it was a big pizza at midnight and something that threw off our body physiology, like you mentioned before, George, strange dreams from different foods, maybe we don't have to interpret the actual content, but still the warning of having a nightmare after that food, maybe late at night, is a bit of a warning. Don't do that. So listen to the dream.
Let's go to first-time caller Kevin out there in North Georgia. Hello, Kevin. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was wondering if he would take a crack at interpreting a recurring nightmare.
Okay, well, we'll see. Sometimes in a few seconds on air, we can't always get to the bottom, but if it's a common one, we could.
Give it our best chance. Go ahead.
Okay, in the dream, I'm riding a bit of pickup truck, which used to be legal here. The air's cool. The sun's warm, it's just perfect. It's a spring day. And I look up and there's no one in the cab of the truck.
Wow.
And as I wake up, I'm struggling over whether to jump out and get hurt or try to get in the cab and maybe get killed.
Okay, and you're in the back in the dream, right?
Yes.
Bed, flatbed, I guess.
With no control.
Yeah. I think
Right.
George kind of hinted at it there. So sort of super anxiety of, wow, this anything could happen now. Nobody's steering this vehicle, right?
So is this an intuitive dream, or what would you call it, Craig?
Well, especially for Kevin here and any listeners who have a recurring dream, especially if it's upsetting, but even the positive ones, it's usually associated with an important emotional skill, life lesson. So the recurring ones that are repeating, like I think yours did, Kevin. In this case, I would say the inner vehicle of driving along in our life, we might equate that with making choices, being clear about which path we're choosing, turning left, right, having control. In our life, are we feeling out of control, not able to steer, make choices accurately? Is there a sharp turn or a tough event coming soon that I might not make because, quote unquote, nobody's driving? There's no decisiveness. Does that connect for you, Kevin, or?
And the fact that there's nobody in the cab, does that make it sound like whatever he does, he's got to decide this on his own?
Well, what I encourage people in life, if he decides on his own in waking life, that would kind of be like choosing to climb into the cab symbolically. So, in other words, get behind the wheel instead of just being at the mercy of life and the invisible driver.
Thanks,
So that's
Kevin.
a good
Good
one.
luck there.
Appreciate it.
Next up, we go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jacob's with us, west of the Rockies. Hi, Jacob. Go ahead.
How you doing, both of you?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Jacob, have a dream.
Your guest's name is Craig. I know you're George Norrie, because I always hear you on the radio late at night like I'm doing now. But this is my dream. This happened. My youngest brother died, and he was building a grotto of the Blessed Mother in my mom's yard in the back. You know, my mom was real excited, you know. And he didn't get to finish it, so he ended up dying, you know. So I took over, and I finished building them with the Blessed Mother and everything. And then shortly after that, I was in front of my home in the dream, and when I looked up into the sky, the Blessed Mother was hovering over in the trees. So what happened was I dropped to my knees, and before I know it, she was in front of me. And I was in prayer with my hands, and before I know it, she gave me communion, and that shortly after the dream, I woke up. But I was just all in awe because, you know, receiving communion from the Blessed Mother was very striking to me because I really couldn't comprehend it at the time.
Wow, thanks for sharing. Sounds really sacred for you too, right?
Like what's that
feeling? A really sacred feeling when you woke up. Really nice.
Something mystical.
Mystical, yeah. And do you sense that you actually had a true?
Yeah, but it was real. I don't know. You know, just to have her come, you know, in my dream and do something like that is overwhelming. But anyway, I don't know if anybody's had dreams like that or not. But I always have spiritual dreams.
Okay, great. Well, my guess of why it might have come, I mean, it's a bit obvious there, but you put physical energy, time, devotion, and I guess honoring your brother's work and finishing it. And so it's not surprising that you'll get some kind of inner reward with the connection with more communion with, I guess, the mother in this case.
Visitations from, you know, religious aspects of people, angels, that happens a lot too, Craig, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
What does that mean?
When we say what does it mean, it's interesting because that's often what people have, I guess, from the early days of Freud and Jung. What does your dream mean? Right? I would say the feeling that comes is sort of what the dream means, or I like to say, what does it want? What does the dream want? And it wants us to experience that rich, in this case, it sounds like Jacob had a really nice sacred communion, devotion or grace feeling. And I would say that's what it wants. But as for interpreting, did the mother actually come? It's usually left up to the dreamer. Certainly the feeling of pure love, devotion sounds like it came. Right, Jacob?
Do you recall the Michael Jackson story tied into music and dreams?
Yeah, Michael Jackson, who said he actually dreamt most of his songs, or many of his songs. Powerful. So the specific story, Michael Jackson, I actually can't pull up.
And what do they do, though? They dream about these songs and then write them down real fast? What do they do? How do they do that?
Well, the creative inspiration, sometimes they'll just go with the feeling, just like Jacob shared here. He had this powerful dream of the feeling. And then from the feeling, write lyrics or get the melody. But quite often, many of the few hundred experiences in there, they'll get actual lyric lines or melody, or once in a while, a bit rarer, they'll get the entire song start to finish, like produced in the dream. Some of the lucid dreamers, I guess, who have more of a clear connection, like Todd Rundgren, say they get the whole song start to finish, and they just have to compose it or write it on the computer later.
Northern California caller Chris is with us now. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, so I've never been able to remember my dreams. Like, I wake up and I'm awake, and it's like I just woke up from a blackness.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. Craig, what causes that?
It sounds like you'd like to, which is, that's a good
thing. Oh, everybody would like to.
Yeah. Well, some people say, I just want to sleep, and I don't want to dream. And the two aren't mutually exclusive. You can have a rich rest and also remember dreams. So just to put that out there, because sometimes our beliefs limit us from dreams. In this case, you can use some of the tips I mentioned earlier. Ideally, just practicing a little bit, recording it when you wake up with a pen maybe or into a voice recorder of some kind. Even just sitting there quietly on the side of the bed, you know, for a week or so with the intention to remember. a thought might come to you, maybe not a visual dream scenario, but just a quiet thought. And that's sort of the dreams translated into waking thinking language. So let's say the executive summary, and then after a little bit, usually the dream recall will come. So you could try that.
The great dreams are being able to dream. You wake up, and then you're able to dream again and get back into the dream. Those are cool.
Those early morning hours, right, George?
Yep.
Yeah, where the dreaming mind and the waking mind are closer together, because at the start of the night we have the deep sleep usually in our sleep cycle, but later towards the morning we can kind of surf back in with your favorite movie star, or if you're creative, maybe get your deep insight there. And for our caller there, check out craigwebb.ca for a whole bunch of other tips on dream recall and an article there that'll help you out, hopefully.
We've got Levy in North Dakota. Hi, Levy. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
How's it going? It's Levi.
Hi, Levi.
Hey, Levi. A dream or experience?
Yeah, kind of a weird deal with my situation here is that no matter if I fall asleep for 5 minutes or 5 hours, I'm in that lucid dream.
And do you ever try different experiments or guide the dream or get creative insights or anything?
Yeah, I can always control it. I can always remember it. I don't log it, but it's always kind of something abstract, but seemingly random. Like sometimes it'll be I'll be having a good time, and sometimes it'll be kind of nightmarish. But it's not like that all the time. It's just always just a random subject. And the thing is, like I said, it takes a while to get there. But for me, if I fall asleep for 5 minutes on the couch or something, I'll wake up feeling like an hour went by, and I'll be like, "Well, what did I just do?"
Huh.
Kind of this altering reality constantly. I'm 30 now, and I started when I hit puberty, so about 15 years.
How long does a dream last, Craig?
Interesting question.
Any data on that?
Right.
And how would we know?
Well, I can say a few things. First of all, it's subjective. Who the dreamer gets to sort of say how long they felt it was. How long was the scenario? Maybe it was like a movie scene cut to 2 years later, kind of. So was that the duration? But I have an interesting statistic because I've logged roughly 10,000 of my dreams into a database, and I estimate, I guess my waking estimation of what the length of the dream was, and it comes out very close to 4.2 minutes when I average them all. Which is interesting.
That's
on YouTube,
amazing.
They say that the most successful videos are somewhere right around 3 to 4 or 5 minutes in duration. So maybe a dream length.
You know, one day we're going to have software that you can hook up and your dream will be like on a flat screen and you're going to see it visually.
Like video out, Jack.
Yeah, that's going to happen, I think. Technology will get that.
Actually, in Japan and some different places, researchers have come somewhat close. Putting electrodes on the back of the head, the visual area, and have tuned in, I guess, to all the electrodes, and then measured them against, I think, 10,000 or many, many videos online to see what it could correspond with. And they can sort of make up a rough visual of what the person was dreaming. It's amazing.
That happens, doesn't it? All right, stay with us, Craig. We're going to come back in a moment and take final phone calls here, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Craig Sim Webb. The dreams behind the music. Right here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Do follow us on Twitter if you would. We'll be back. And welcome back. Craig Sim Webb with us. Our final segment as we talk about his work, The Dreams Behind the Music. Fascinating. Now, what got you, Craig, interested in the dreams behind the music, that tie-in of music and dreams? What was that all about?
Well, I would say I obviously was interested in dreams for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of near drowning and everything. But the music itself, more and more, like even now, increasingly, seems to be coming to me in dreams. I'm really blessed. I'm getting music sometimes a few a day, but at least one or two a week. Mostly new melodies. So I'm like, wait, I have to follow my early vision dream when I started my career here as, I guess, speaker, author, and sharing about some of the research. But the first half was I could speak and tour around the world and reach many people with, I guess, hopefully empowering info and inspiration. But the second half was with the guitar and super beautiful music playing. And the message I finally started to understand was, oh, and later I could share the same content or maybe some of my experiences more artistically through music. And so it's time to shift gears into a little more artistry, as I say.
Craig, do you think every successful person, be it a business person, a musician, an actor, whomever, gets that success from dreams?
Well, perhaps unconsciously, there's probably a connection, I would say. When we follow our gut feeling, our intuition, that's sort of strongly connected with dreams. I like how Edgar Cayce, who is a pretty powerful tuning in type of psychic, he said any condition ever becoming reality, like in our waking life, was first dreamt. So that's pretty much across the gamut. So anything that went big probably came from a deep inner inspiration, or sometimes in this book I detail like 200 direct inspiration dreams, 20 to 30, 40 Grammys won, etc.
Do the people who create music from their dreams, are they all musically inclined? Have you heard stories where someone who didn't know anything about music, he wakes up to this incredible tune or something?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's some, I guess, just creatives who are tuned to the dream channel. There's a few detailed in the synesthesia chapter of sort of music as visuals and sound, etc. So they'll kind of tune in. There's a Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
I love that.
That they came to an organist. I guess he was tuned to the music, but he wasn't thinking at all about dreams. So in this case, kind of the reverse. Someone who had to get the music by a deadline for the church service just dreamt this melody. So both are true, I think. Those who aren't musical and then those who aren't dreamers get it.
All right, let's wrap up the rest of the hour by going to the phones. David in Rugby, North Dakota, east of the Rockies. Good morning, David.
Hey there. I got three questions, I guess.
Sure.
The first one is there any music that wards off dreams? The second one is that my dreams are so close to real life that I have a hard time remembering what is dream and real, and I guess if there's any way you could help me distinguish. And the third one, when I was growing up, my dad was real sick all the time, so I'd worry obsessively about him dying 4 or 5 hours a day. And then, well, he eventually did here, and now I've been having dreams that he passed away, and I'd wake myself up and reassure myself he's still alive, and then I have to realize he's gone again.
Yeah. Some people do that. They wake up, and we'll go through these three questions for you, but they don't realize they were in a dream or not. They're kind of disoriented, Craig. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Personally, many of the well-known dreamers in the book wake up not quite sure where they are, or they don't even know if this dream or this new song was from them. So definitely disorientation, George.
His first question, of course, wants to know if some music can ward off dreams rather than enhance them, push them away.
Right, because tonight we're sort of promoting as some of the benefits, right?
And, yeah.
To offer some empathy to our caller here, which sounds like some pretty tough scenario, especially the nice love you have for your dad. I can see why that might be upsetting. Well, I would say look at the idea behind warding off the dreams. Probably you just want to get freer of the upset, but the dreams themselves may or may not contribute to that. It depends how they are interpreted too. But there is some music that seems to affect the dream state. Certainly some of the songs from dreams, different composers and stuff have channeled or played at sleep, can induce dreams. I don't specifically know of any that'll limit dreams or ward them off, although maybe something relaxing before sleep will help the content and the type of dreams. So there's one suggestion.
What would you say? Lucid dreams might be the best dreams of all?
They're usually the clearest, definitely the ones we remember more accurately. Often there's different functions, so lucid doesn't have to be on or off, but often there's a sense of being able to exert will or control or guide the dream. Sometimes we can remember waking life or not, and sometimes some of the most powerful, like really profound spiritual experiences happen. I've had quite a number of those. You know the Tibetan monks you were talking about before? They'll actually use lucid dreaming as one powerful tool, but a main tool at the beginning, as a stepping stone towards enlightenment, realizing eventually that life's a dream, and at the moment of death, they're becoming free and not stuck in some bardo or some scary nightmare kind of thing.
All right, let's go out to Shirley in Spring Hill, Florida, on the wild card line. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. I want to share with you a wonderful dream that I had concerning music.
Sure.
Great.
I was a soprano hoping to meet the man of my dreams, who was a baritone. I then had a lucid dream where I saw a princess in a beautiful wooded setting, where she was on a float in a pond with a handmaiden brushing her hair. Then I heard this beautiful baritone voice, and it was singing, "You are my music." A handsome prince appeared from the woods on a white horse, and the princess joined him in the duet. I loved the words and the music so much, I asked it to please let me remember it so I could write it down, and it was repeated for me. I entered it into a composer's contest that I was a member of, and I won first place as a ballad. And not long after that, I met that prince in my dream, and he had that same beautiful voice. After we were married, we sang "You Are My Music" in a concert of winning numbers. And just last June, we celebrated our 50th anniversary.
That's great.
That
Isn't
is
that so marvelous.
I love that story.
Your 50th. Oh, so your dream prince came into waking life as your husband. That's what I understood, right?
How does that song go, Shirley? Can you kind of sing a little bit for us?
Oh, I wish I could. I should have brought it out so I could remember it, but I have it tucked away somewhere.
Who sang it? Who made it a hit?
My husband and I sang it together. In fact, we were both singers. He was that baritone. And I had been a concert singer before that and sung opera and like musical comedy. And we had a couple of our own one-hour shows. We performed for women's clubs all over California for about 9 years.
Huh.
Wow. Beautiful.
All right.
Can you write me at music@craigwebb.ca? I might include that in the second edition. I love it. Great show.
We can get to you through your website, right?
Yeah, dreamsbehindthemusic.com. You can go there. By the way, anybody who logs in today will offer them maybe free shipping on the book for a day. So,
well, that would be nice. And will you sign it for people?
Signed books. We'll see. If anybody requests signed, we'll try to get you a signed copy. Sure.
Mark in North Carolina. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I can't believe I got through. A long-time listener, and I know we're coming close to the end of the show, but
that's right.
I just wanted to share with you an experience I had with a dream recall. I was a teenager. Well, I was just past teenager. I was 19 years old. I'd just been engaged to my wife. I'd given her an engagement ring, and for Christmas, she got me a beautiful signet ring. Well, the signet ring, I lost it, and I was just all beside myself because I could not find the ring. And I'd looked everywhere. I couldn't find it anywhere, and I went to sleep. When I went to sleep, all I could think about was the ring, and I was, and I just went to sleep thinking about that ring. Now, in my dream, I went to sleep, and I started to dream, and I saw the ring. I was really close up to it, and I could just see the ring sitting there. And in the dream, I just lifted up above the ring to where I could see what was around it. There was grass and a little bit of dew in the grass. It was that vivid. And the further up I went, I could tell that I was in her front yard, where I used to park my truck there for my house when I go see her. And so the further up I went, I could tell where I was at. And this dream, the ring was sitting at the edge of a storm drain. Well, when I woke up, I could remember the dream. And as soon as it got daylight, I drove over. And sure enough, the ring was there, storm drain, right where I had seen it. And it had been revealed
in the dream.
In my dream, and I was able to recall that the next morning. And what happened was that's where I parked my pickup truck when I was a visitor. Evidently, it just fell out of my truck by taking it off for work or something.
Yeah.
But that recall, I've always wanted to share this story with you.
I love that.
I got through today, and I just thought I would share that with you guys and let you know that, this, it works. And, this,
it works.
Would that be lucid dreaming, or what would you consider that?
Well, maybe problem solving. Certainly, you had a pretty stressful problem, and your dream gave the answer. Tuning in.
Yeah, not lucid dreaming are dreams where you know it's a dream, and you, I guess, can control the outcome. Can you not, Craig?
Yeah, often you can control the dream during time. I make a little more open definition. Even if you start to intentionally plan dream content, a bit like our caller did. Wow, I'd love, maybe not even consciously, but thinking about it falling asleep, I'd love to dream on it and sleep on it and maybe find the ring somehow. He sort of induced the content of the dream. In other words, he got the answer and found the ring, right?
So, what do you think of dreams for healing purposes?
Oh, very important.
Yeah.
Really key. elements, our body, right? I like to say our whole body, not just our brain dreams. One of my students had like recurring headaches, and she said, I didn't usually get these up until 6 months ago. And I said, well, why not ask dreams? A bit like our caller. In this case, she asked for health. And the first dream, it said, oh, wow, stop having the eggs and bananas. Ah. It's like, oh, and she actually liked the science. She went and researched all the, I guess, nutrients and what was in there. She learned potassium and a few things. And main thing is she stopped and they went away until about, I guess, 6 or 7 weeks into the class. And she said,
that's remarkable.
But she said later a lucid dream helped her. It not just said what to remove, but add potatoes and grapes, and that should really help.
And it did.
And it did. She didn't have the headaches or migraines anymore. So it's been practical health dreaming.
Daniel in Los Angeles. Hi, Daniel. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Pleasure speaking to you. I've been listening to your stories when I was in middle school.
Thank you, Daniel.
I'm 24 years old now. Can you hear me?
Yep.
So my question is, basically, I would have these dreams, and then a year or 6 months later, I would go through that experience. But when I dreamed it, it was kind of like the worst case scenario that ever existed. But I would have these kind of like deja vu where, you know, I already dreamed it. I know what's going to happen next. So I end up acting differently so that I could avoid that situation. I've always had that since I was a kid. I'm 24 years old now. As of today, today is my birthday, actually, and I'm kind of going through, like, this, like, spiritual growth. I don't know what it is, but could you just kind of answer that? I couldn't really find anyone to even ask this question because people just think I'm weird if I ask a question like that, you know, that I admire someone like that, so.
Oh, well, thanks for your trust. Sounds like it's been a journey for
and
you.
And you're not weird, Daniel. You're not.
Definitely not.
Go ahead, Craig. See if you can help him out there.
Super common, so don't think you're too weird. In fact, it could be a gift. Often people are a bit nervous because we're not taught too much about what might be called precog or premonition, prescient dreams. So that's some kind of inner skill. We can tune into events ahead of time. And in this case, I like that you actually shifted the waking event for the better, which is usually why such dreams come. So you've already sort of turned it into a gift there, Daniel. And I guess for many levels, happy birthday today for the gift and the gift that you give to people by changing for a better future.
Lee in Millport, New York. Squeeze you in here, Lee. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Greg.
Hi.
Hey, Lee.
I took care of a friend of mine with cancer for a year, and after he passed away, I had dreams. Well, I had dreams before when I listened to the TV at night. But now when I have dreams at night, I wake up and I write stuff down. I started this back when I was taking care of him. And some of them, people tell me I should find a song, somebody that does song, because they say they sound like music. And another thing is I had this dream, which I was listening to the show the other night, where I'm floating above everything at night. I've had that one for
years.
See,
that might not be a dream at all, Lee. That may be actually astral projection, and you're waking up in that kind of state, which is another remarkable thing, is it not, Craig?
Yeah, we have lots of different language, astral protection, out-of-body, physicists might say.
OBEs.
OBEs, right. But an altered state for certain, and there's some benefits and some amazing explorations. It sounds like you're pretty happy about the new developments.
Indeed. Okay, Craig, we are out of time.
Oh, no.
Good luck. The Dreams Behind the Music, available where?
Well, Amazon.com, or if listeners want to join the, I guess, Tips and Events newsletter at dreamsbehindthemusic.com, we'll get you a copy with free shipping for the day here.
You got it. Craig, thanks again for being on the show.
Great, George. Really enjoyed it. Thanks.
On our next Coast to Coast program, Sean Stone joins us, of course, son of the incredible director Oliver Stone. We're going to be talking about some of his strange things that he's been working on, followed by open lines, lots going on. We'll hear from you. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.